This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Keith Kam and Wong Xiaoning. This week, China's President Xi Jinping is embarking on his first European trip since 2019, visiting France, Hungary and Serbia. He kicked off his trip with a state visit to France, marking the 60th anniversary of bilateral ties, where he also held trilateral meetings with President Emmanuel Macron and European Commission head Ursula von der Leyen on Monday.
Today, Xi is in Belgrade for talks with the President of Serbia, Aleksandar Vučić. While on Thursday, he meets with the Prime Minister of Hungary, Viktor Orban, in Budapest. President Xi's trip comes at a time of tensions with many European countries over China's support for Russia amid the ongoing war in Ukraine, as well as contentions over its trade practices and its apparent espionage activities.
So will this visit succeed in softening the toughening narrative against China in EU circles? Joining us for more analysis on EU-China relations is Dr. Frederick Kleem, Managing Director of Episteme Consulting. He's also an adjunct fellow at the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies. Good morning, Frederick. Thanks very much for joining us. Now, despite the pomp and pageantry of President Xi's state visit to France, it is coming at a time when China-EU relations are at a low point. What are the major factors that have contributed to the deterioration of ties over the past 5 years?
Hey, good morning. Great to be on with you again. Yeah, boy, relations have worsened substantially, right? The last visit was before the COVID pandemic. Can you imagine that? So long ago now. So since then, a lot has happened, right? I would probably name two broader buckets. Right? One is security and one is economic. On the security front, there is definitely increasing frustration in Europe with China's position on Ukraine. And the worst fear is, of course, that China supports Russia. But even short of that, they are frustrated that Xi does not use his presumably considerable influence over Putin to affect the outcome, or at least the events on the ground in Ukraine, right? And lastly, I think you just mentioned it, there have been some cases of espionage in several European countries, both as staffers of MEPs, of members of European Parliament, but also industrial espionage, right? And then, of course, you have the economic front, which is probably even more important, which is increasing conversations in Europe that they want to erect trade barriers, i.e. tariffs, against Chinese imports that are allegedly dumped on the European single market. Are we talking green technologies in general, right? And at the same time, the Europeans have been asking for more equitable access to the Chinese market for European firms. But that's, of course, as you know, a long-standing issue. So this has worsened the situation a lot in the past five, 6 years.
So, Frederick, what I've been reading is that China's approach with the EU is sort of to counter what they see as a potential roadblock to US-China relations after the November elections.
I would say sometimes mixing the European and the American approach towards China is obscuring more than it reveals, I would say. It is. I think we should look at European-China relations in their own right, right? I mean, the European Union has very legitimate, I think, economic concerns. Some are exaggerated, some are not. But this is really driven by the EU Commission. And then you look at individual political relations that are bilateral in nature. And yes, you're right, if you mean that Xi Jinping is sort of on a charm offensive slightly in order to better relations with the EU in case of an unfavorable election outcome in the United States, then yes, that is probably the case. But the EU does remain essentially transatlantic in its foreign policy approach.
So in the meantime, it's clear that different European Union countries have different approaches towards China. So what accounts for their difference in the way they engage with the Chinese, especially the ones on Xi's visit itinerary?
Yeah, I mean, you would certainly name Hungary here as one of the EU countries where China has would probably receive a much warmer welcome, right? So in France, the discussions were pretty chewy and a bit tough for Xi, I would say, but for Macron, of course, also. But in Hungary, he would receive a much warmer welcome, and this is, I think, that's due to two things, right? One is that in Hungary, there is a lot of Chinese investment. BYD has just announced they will open a factory there. Hungary won over Germany for that plan. So there is a lot of Chinese investment, both by companies and Chinese investment banks as well. So on the economic front, all is well between Hungary and China, right? And at the same time, the government of Viktor Orban, they do get a lot of criticism, a lot of it unfair in my personal view, from the European Union side and elsewhere. So they are probably a bit less moralizing towards Xi Jinping than is in Beijing than is the norm in Europe. So that's definitely a lot more hospitable ground for tea. And then outside of the EU, he's also, of course, going to Serbia, which is probably among the most China-friendly, in quotation marks, countries in Europe. Alexander Vucic has hailed China as the great savior of the Serbian people after he became the first, I think he was the first European leader to announce that he would use Chinese COVID vaccines, right? So there is a, let's say after France was a pretty tough going for Xi Jinping, Hungary and Serbia is going to be pretty easy going.
And if we look at meetings that took place in France, President Xi did meet with President Macron and Ursula von der Leyen of the European Commission earlier this week. Did you see any progress in bridging the differences on economic and trade issues?
Unfortunately, not really. I mean, Xi Jinping showed definitely some goodwill, but there were no major concessions really on the most substantial issues, right? Neither in trade nor foreign policy. I think Xi Jinping and Beijing feel that the European position on Chinese dumping is unreasonable and exaggerated. So I'm doubtful that any real substantial progress can be achieved there. But at the same time, I just said it earlier, right? He was clearly on a sort of charm offensive. So he did show some goodwill towards the French. So there were numerous agreements signed between French and Chinese companies on various issues. Xi Jinping also showed some goodwill over French cognac, would you believe it, which is one of the main import items for China from Europe. There's definitely a warming of relations, I will put it this way, but no really substantial concessions. One thing that may interest your listeners is that Macron got a tiny, tiny political victory in the sense that he did get on camera a statement from Xi Jinping that China would remain neutral in the Ukraine war and that they would not deliver arms to Russia during the conflict. So that's at least a tiny victory for Macron, I would say.
So, you know, in that context, I mean, China has close ties with Russia and they remain under scrutiny. But I was just wondering how far the EU is willing to go. What's going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back when it comes to Beijing's relations with Russia?
That's an excellent question. I think it has a very clear answer though, which is if China would get actively involved in the war in Ukraine, right? So that would be delivering weapons, for example, to Russia to use on the battlefield in Ukraine. This would definitely be a step too far. And then even though European companies would suffer greatly and European GDP would suffer greatly, they would have politically no alternative but to get very tough on China. Not that it matters much for China, I presume, but that would be it, right? In terms of just trading between Beijing and Moscow, I would say there isn't much the EU can say because at the end of the day, they have no agency here to do anything about it without paying an enormous price for it. And second, let's face it, right? Europe still gets large amounts of LNG from Russia still. And there is even significant illicit oil trade ongoing between Russia and several European countries, circumventing the sanctions, right, that come in the form of the oil price cap. So Europe really need to get its own house in order first before it can lecture about on oil and gas trade with Russia, right, for sure. Sanctions are always a tricky issue. So I think short of China getting more actively involved in the actual violence in Ukraine, there is not much that the Europeans will do about it.
Frederick, thanks very much for speaking with us. That was Frederick Kleem, Managing Director of Episteem Consultants, talking to us about what we're seeing coming out of President Xi Jinping's visit to Europe. It's going to be a waiting game and a watching game, really, to see whether this visit will help change policies or change the way that the EU and China does relations. But in any case, still both very integrally intertwined at this point.
Global trade, right? Even for France, right? He mentioned cognac. Of course, another thing, luxury handbags, for example. China is a big buyer of all that. But it's really a lot to do with money, especially if you look at the relationship. If you look at Serbia and Hungary, China has invested $15 billion already so far in these two countries and helped build them this rail link between Serbia and... So, hey.
Investment makes friends.
Definitely.
7:46 in the morning. We're going to head into some messages, but we'll come back to talk about the newly launched anti-corruption strategy, what this says about the government's commitment to eliminate graft. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.